after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. May God bless his word one more time. In Jesus' name. You know, it's usual and normal in the body of Christ, the sixth month, you know, we are in the Gregorian calendar. In the sixth month, the angel came and visited Mary. Hail, thou art highly favored, that you will be pregnant, and you will be pregnant with a holy thing. Mary said, how shall this be? For I know no man. You know that story, right? And we, even tonight, we have used it as a prayer, and there's nothing wrong about that. That the Lord will visit us in the sixth month. So I began to meditate on this. To my shock, what I was expecting God to speak to me was not what I heard. The question was, what kind of visitation are you expecting? What kind of visitation are you looking forward to? A month like this, today is the first day, right? People will have exchanged text messages, right? Welcome to the new month, the month of divine visitation. The Lord will visit you, and so on and so forth. The Holy Spirit was like, what kind of visitation are you expecting? I throw the same question at us tonight, children of God. What kind of visitation? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, I think it's verse 14. It says, a virgin shall conceive, right? And be with child. It was prophesied hundreds of years. This was a promise of a visitation. Is somebody listening to me? This was a promise of what? A visitation that took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And the day this visitation was to take place, an angel came to a virgin. Remember, we've asked ourselves these questions before. Was Mary the only virgin in Israel? No, she wasn't. But there must be something that God saw in her. That he said, you know, I'm going to choose this young girl. Amen? And then she became pregnant. Eventually, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. Was born in an unusual place. In a manger. Amen? Amen. I said, what kind of visitation should I be expecting? He said, when God visited Mary, it was because Jesus was coming.
He said the visitation you should be expecting now is the return of Jesus. This is not something a lot of people want to hear. He said the visitation I'm going to bring now is the return of my son. You don't need anybody to tell you that we're in the last days, right? Amen. He says he will judge the living and the dead at his appearing, at his visitation. The first visitation came with a blessing. The second visitation too is coming with a blessing, only for a selected few. Only for the church. Let me show you. I like teaching. So bear with me. Amen. Did I have a good amen? All right. Praise God. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15 to 18 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel." The same archangel that came, Angel Gabriel. You know he's an archangel. I don't need to go into that teaching. The voice of an archangel. "And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught." It doesn't mean everybody. When he says, "then we which are alive," it doesn't mean everybody alive. It's for those who have sold their heart and their soul to the Lord Jesus. Those who love his appearing, like Paul said. Those who are looking forward to his return. Those who are waiting, expecting that visitation. There's no better time, folks, than to be eager, than now to be eager for the return of Jesus Christ. The world is in a mess. I look at the young ones, I look at my children, and I'm like, if the Lord Jesus tarries, what kind of future awaits these ones? Jesus said, "I'm going and I'm coming back again." John chapter 14. And one thing he never does, he doesn't lie. He's coming back. I read a story of some explorers to the North Pole, and the captain that led the exploration told his team, he said, "I have to leave, but I'm coming back. Then when I come back, we will live together." This is a true story. Every day they waited was agony. I mean, the North Pole. the coldest place on earth. Where you sleep inside ice. This man, on his return, he was coming back after many, many days. He was coming back. Suddenly, there was a major storm. And the path he needed to pass through to get to his team was blocked. These were all believers. By a word of prayer, in the midst of that blockade, God made a way for him to pass through. Terrible weather situation. When he got to their camp in that ice, guess what? He found his team dressed, prepared, ready to leave. There was no telephone communication. He didn't tell them when. He said, I'm coming back. They went, so he asked them, how did you know I'm coming back? They said, number one, we know when you said you are coming back, you do everything to come back. And every day, well, after we pack, and it's nighttime, we unpack and sleep, when we wake up, we are packed again. Because we don't know when you are going to show up. Matthew 24. When you read downwards, Jesus began to speak about the end times. Every pointer to the end time has been fulfilled. Church. If I ask you tonight, would you like Jesus to come today? You know why it may be difficult for you to answer that question? Because you have plans. Right? Some want to marry. Some want to buy houses. Some want to do business. Some are still in school. I want to graduate first. I want to do this first. Do you think all that thing, all those things concern the return of Jesus? Huh? It doesn't concern the return of Jesus. It can come anytime. The point is, we don't know when. Mary did not know when the angel suddenly showed up. It was prophesied 100 and something, many hundred years before then. The church is sleeping and forgetting. Another story I read. This was in Switzerland. A tourist went into this beautiful castle kind of house. And he saw this gardener trimming and trimming the garden. Beautiful, seemingly spotless garden. Wow. This is beautiful. That tourist is like me. I ask a lot of questions of people I don't know. You know. Says, who owns this place? They mentioned the name. Wow. How long have you been doing this? He said, 20 years. He said, how many times has the owner visited in 20 years? Because he doesn't live there. He said, 4 times. He said, and you are still dressing it like this? You are doing it as if it's coming back tomorrow. You know the reply of the gardener? He said, no. I'm not dressing it as though it's coming back tomorrow. I'm dressing it as though it's going to come today. You know, we know how to cast our mind to tomorrow, next week, is later, see you later. What if tomorrow doesn't come? I know you don't like preachings like this. What if tomorrow doesn't come? Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. It's not a long message. It's just a reminder. You know, there are certain things that keep you awake at night. For me, this is one of them. This is one of the things that makes me so pensive. Get your priorities right. Nobody is saying don't pursue your ambition, but let your ambition take second place. Hello? Let your desire do what? Take what? Second place. Matthew 24. This is not a fancy preaching. I read verse 36 downwards. Matthew 24. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. That is terrifying in itself. Huh? Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels of heaven. You know, some people have said that they saw angels coming to tell them that the Lord is coming soon. I don't know if God sends angels on that kind of messages. Huh? Huh? It's already in his word. There is no other warning. Jesus spelled it out. He says, when you see all these things, take time when you get home. Read 24 and 25. Matthew 24 and 25. He says, when you see all these things, the beginning of sorrows, then you know that the end is near. Earthquakes in many places. Do you not think that God speaks to us through earthquakes? I can show you scriptures where he speaks through earthquakes. In the wilderness on Mount Sinai, did he not speak through earthquakes? It catches our attention through it. Tsunamis, disasters taking place all over. It's catching our attention. I remember General Vassia at the beginning of the year, one of the prophecies was about weather disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes. How many has happened this year? Terrible. And the funny thing is, it's not happening where the children of God are. It's not happening in Christian nations. Wars and rumors of wars. There's no quietness anywhere around the world. Everywhere is shaking. There is deception all over the place. That's one of the things he said. Deception. In the last days, there will be a lot of deceptions. I got so annoyed when a prominent Christian leader wrote a book. Prominent. About the coming together of Christian and Muslims. Chrislam. This year, in a church in Denver, a huge cathedral in Denver, an imam and a Christian pastor, they are the leaders of that church. Deception. Is it not in our very presence that homosexuals are being ordained as bishops of churches? Deception. Is it not in our same presence that we are seeing the Bible being changed? We have King James Version, now we have Queen James Version, if you don't know. Go and Google it. They are selling them in bookstores. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan. Oh my God. I can't remember the name of this guy who wrote a book. The good news or something, better news, something like that. This book was a book that changes biblical terminologies. Saying people must be encouraged to cohabit. To cohabit. Men and women should be encouraged to live together, whether they marry or not. In actual fact, he was not even pushing the agenda of marriage. Dr. Rowan appended that book, that this is a very powerful book. A Christian leader. Deception. People are rising up in several places. And you know the foolishness of the church is that we are gullible. What is the Lord saying? You want to know? Read your Bible. You will see what he's saying there. You are carrying this Bible about. And yet you are looking for somebody to prophesy to you. Then you are looking for a lie. He says, in the end time, there will be a lot of deceivers. I was reading Matthew 24. If you don't know what to believe, if you don't know how to hold on to the truth, another truth will be sold to you, which is actually a lie. There's too much opposition against the truth. I was listening to a Kurdish pastor and in Iraq, and he said, ISIS, they think they have taken anything from us. He said, no, they've not taken anything from us. But we have taken everything from them. In their challenge, It says now, the church is united more than ever before. Praise the Lord. He said they want the land. What is land? He said they can have the land. We are not going to sell our faith because of the land. We are not afraid to die because we know where we are going. How many Christians can boldly stand up and say that? But the of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this is where I'm going. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They don't care about Bible study. They don't care about prayer in the morning. They don't care about coming to church and fellowshipping with the brethren. Marrying and giving in marriage, there are nothing wrong with those things. But if that is the thing that matters most to you, you are in trouble. You know what they say of marriage? In some marriage is not mine. See, some people run into it. They are looking for ways to run into it. And those who are inside are looking for ways to run out. You don't know that from the day you get married, you have lost your identity. You are no longer your own. You don't belong to you anymore. Amen? Amen. You become, yes, there. Whatever you say. Praise the Lord. And then, people hit their heads together where there is no communication, where there are no understanding, and especially when God is not the center of that union. When the fear of God is not in that family, everybody would do their own. Alf and I were discussing the other day. I initiated the discussion. I said, technology, if we are not careful, will destroy homes. Huh? Because what brought that up? We're in bed. She's on her iPad. I am on my iPad. Toby is on his iPad. Tammy is on her iPad. Everybody in their own separate world. I said, my dear, if care is not taken, technology will kill families. Everybody will just be on their own. I said, I even feel like throwing away all this iPad right now. Because, have you not noticed that people are not having contacts anymore? You have to be conscious of it. Technology is not all that bad. We're using it to preach the gospel too. Praise God. Amen. Some people are saying, oh, they don't see me on Facebook anymore. I can't spend half of the day responding to somebody that I don't know from somewhere. And then one girl is saying hi, hello, every day. Different girl, different picture, every day. I said to my wife, I said, didn't they see he's married, he's a pastor. My wife is beside me there. I just decided, you know what? Let Facebook say on its own. I don't have time. I can't be deleting and deleting and correcting. I'm not that savvy. Praise the Lord. For as it is in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were oblivious of that message. They were oblivious of that visitation. Should we take Nigeria as a case in point? Nigerian Christians? Huh? Nigerian Christians are the most fraudulent human beings in the world. I'm not bashful about saying it. Nigerian Christians. And we are the ones that pray the most. After I finish preaching now and I ask us to pray, the kind of prayer I'm going to ask you to pray, I'll see how you are going to pray it. Because I know when it comes to kill the enemy, crucify them, pour hot water on them, put pepper in their eyes, everybody's energy is high. Ninja Christians. Kill him. And yet, what matters most, we are ignoring it. Folks, Jesus is coming back. I don't know how else to say it, but if I can open me, driving alone in the car, Lord, help me to be prepared. Help me to be ready. Help me, Lord, to be ready. This visitation, help me to be ready. You know, if me as your pastor say I'm coming to visit you, you know what you will do, right? You clean the house. You go all out. You want to do everything to please the pastor just for a few minutes visitation. Sometimes I wonder, I understand the honor. Amen? But why do you want to go through too much trouble? Now Jesus saying he's coming. He just didn't tell us when. The funny thing is, and the dangerous thing is, there will be no warning. There's no other warning. The warning is already in the Bible. There's no other warning. A few days ago, there was this alarm that was blaring in my neighborhood that a tornado has landed somewhere close. You know? The guy in my home who was about to leave was a pastor. Are you afraid? I said, no. I said, number one, he's not going to come here because I live here. Because I live in this neighborhood. He's not going to come to this neighborhood. Hallelujah. And the alarm was blaring. Bah, 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 bah. I still took precaution. Took my children to the basement and stayed there with them. Then I was praying for my wife. You know. That day I knew I loved my wife more than anything else. Because I'm like, Lord, nothing must happen to this woman. Amen. You know. So, but the coming of Jesus Christ, there will be no alarm. There is no warning system. The warning system is already in your Bible. He says, the trump of God will sound, and within a twinkle of an eye. You know that advert? State Farm. Huh? You know the State Farm advert? Don't ask as though you don't watch TV. Amen? Huh? How do they sing it again? Hey, we say like a good neighbor, State Farm. Bam! Oh, George, don't worry. You are covered. This one, nobody's going to sing. Nobody's singing. It's just going to happen. Pop. Rapture. Let me quickly answer a question for you. The church is not going to go through tribulation. The church is going to be raptured before the tribulation. Amen. Before that terrible day comes, God will have taken his own. And I know I'm going. As a matter of fact, I am praying that rapture will take place in my own lifetime. What an experience that will be. To be caught up together and see Jesus face to face, hanging in the middle of the sky. And we are wearing glory. This jacket will just fall off. The shirt will, everything will fall off. I shared this message with somebody this afternoon. And she said, may we not be conductors. Come and enter. Come and enter. Whereas they are not going anywhere. May we not be like that. Now, at least there are some who are conductors. What about those who are not conducting anything? They are not even telling anybody anything. They are still undercover Christian. Under the grass, green grass. Huh? Hiding Christianity. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. This is the most exciting and most difficult time to be alive. Are you ready for that visitation? Do you know that Mary wasn't ready? When the angel Gabriel came, she wasn't ready. She argued, how can that be? Thank God she had an opportunity to say, be it unto me according to your word. But this second visitation, there will be no second chance. What's this message all about? It's about setting our priorities right. Hello? Huh? Setting our priorities right. They say knowledge will increase. Look at how exponential knowledge has increased. They can monitor you in your bedroom. Somebody else can hack into your phone that you are holding in your hand. and be taking your own picture and emailing it to you. If humans can go to that level, think about the unseen eyes of God. Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, have mercy. It says, when the Son of Man shall return, when he shall show up, when he shall come, will he find faith? He's going to find you and I ready. Are you going to be ready? What is your pursuit in life that is more important than your relationship with Jesus? The fearful thing there, in closing, brethren, you might have actually been in church and the rapture takes place. Hello? Now, because we are in church, doesn't mean everybody in church will be taken or will be raptured. Amen? So it's not about coming to church. It's not about coming for a special program. It's not about coming to pray. Are you God conscious every day? Are you God conscious in your house? Are you God conscious when nobody is there? That night, the instruction God gave the children of Israel. Exodus. Chapter 12. This is the closest thing to rapture in the Old Testament, apart from Enoch and Elijah being taken up, and then Jesus being taken up before the disciples. Egypt is the world, and God was to take his children. He gave them instructions. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Can I quickly just talk about that? This day, this night, this moment, this month, you can make it the beginning of your relationship with God. You can make it the beginning of an intimate time together with the Lord. Verse 3 says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to his house, the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of the souls, and so on. They are supposed to kill the lamb, smear the lintel of their doorposts and their windows up on both sides with the blood, and they shall eat it. Now, verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it. I need another translation, because I don't want this to be lost on you. I don't want this to be lost on you. Is anybody getting anything? Hello? You're all too quiet for me now. And I didn't abuse you. Praise God. Amen. Or did I abuse you? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm going to read the Amplified. And you shall eat it thus, as fully prepared for a journey. Your loins guarded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In the Old Testament, he told them exactly when. But in the New Testament, we don't know when. We're just told to prepare. I am praying tonight that as we partake of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will ignite preparedness in our spirit man. It will trigger a continuous reminder that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. I don't know the most beautiful place you've ever seen. I don't care what it looks like. It cannot be compared with where we are going. Hallelujah. Amen. Where we are going, there is no night there. There is no activity. There is no hurriness. Oh, I'll see you later. Let me quickly go on. There's nothing like that. There's no sleeping, no tiredness. We are just going to be in the presence of the most glorious ever being that we have ever seen and just worshiping him. And you that you are finding it difficult to love, please let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart, because you will sense a kind of love that is unexplainable. You know, in the perfection that we say is perfection on this earth, there's always a mistake. Just put a microscope. In heaven, everything is perfect. Huh? It's perfect. It's getting close, brethren. The train is coming. The train is coming. Can you hear the sound? It's getting close.